Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm going to tell you the revolting thing first. I'm not kidding. I'm going to start with the revolting thing.
Please.
I put my headphones on while I was still downstairs. So the first thing I heard was you really heavy breathing in my head. So that's how.
A very difficult piss that is, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, Christ.
I'll manage. No, I've got fucking COVID, haven't I?
Oh mate, how are you coping? Are you doing okay?
I'm fine. I've got Lucozade.
Oh, can I get anything for you? Can I do anything for you?
Not to you. Buy Lucozade. No one can do anything for me. By the way, we've started.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, we started.
Do we start with the revolting thing? That's not a good start.
Regular. I don't know if you've heard this podcast, but it's a regular. We start off with a revolting thing, and it escalates from there.
So it gets more revolting
more
or
disgusting.
Less revolting?
Oh no! It's never got less revolting. So I'm here with. I've got a pint of Lucozade in front of me. I'll be honest with you, this is the second podcast I've done with COVID, but I didn't know that I had COVID on the previous one. I'm not a medical man. Matt, I'll be honest with you, I'm not a medical man. And that's why I, and only I, could get COVID and arthritis mixed up. I thought, God, my arthritis is really playing up today. Now you've got COVID.
I think that's quite a magical mixture there. Yeah, you know I mean,
it's good and to also, have everything, isn't it?
You like Pokemon, but for medical illnesses.
Yeah.
Gotta get them all.
Gotta get them all. I've had them all. It just means that, you know, when I don't know if you know this, but I'm really sort of like, I'm one of the favorites to win Strictly this year.
Famously. Yeah.
So when I win Strictly this year due to just a confusing admin error. Obviously, I'll have to go to hospitals to sort of say, you know, hello to people who are really ill. But it's better to have me, isn't it, rather than like Princess Diana.
I think.
Yeah, because it's like
you're not a medical man, but I would rather have you there. Like,
yeah, because
I want on my deathbed, it's my cool leg being like, "You're a cunt."
Having no, but it's just seeing someone that you can relate to. Because I think it's a bit like wheeling round a cadaver and go, "Well, at least you're not this."
You're the type of person that evokes sympathy from like people being like, you know what, I have all my intestines are out, but at least I'm not my cool leg.
Exactly, and I love your use of the word evoke, because if I don't evoke sympathy, I will fucking drag it out of them. I've never understood people who go, oh, I don't want sympathy, or people who go, oh, don't patronise me. If there's two things you can do for me to make me feel better, one, patronise the fuck out of me. I absolutely talk down to me, make everything simple, make me feel better. And two, I need loads of sympathy. That's why I'm doing Strictly, because I've got every illness under the sun. And look at me. Not like some people, not naming names, fucking Robert Webb, who dips out. Oh, no, I have a heart problem. What a fucking wimp. So that's what he's like. With his weak heart. I may also have a weak heart, but I've got a very strong stomach, Matt.
What would you rather have? What's the worst combination? Like a strong heart, weak stomach, or like weak heart, strong stomach? Because I feel like, I'm not sure, I think I would rather have a strong heart, weak stomach, but then again, that's a daily problem, isn't it?
Yeah. Well,
question.
It is a good question. Thank you for asking it. That's the first question of the podcast.
I don't even know what this podcast is. Is it just this for a set amount of time?
There is a structure to it, but only in the same way that there's a structure to the universe.
Okay,
so it's chaotic ongoing. And we don't understand it. And actually, ultimately, at the end, you go, "Yep, that was pointless," which is exactly what the universe is. That's one thing Brian Cox doesn't fucking say when he looks up and wonder. It's fucking pointless, mate. None of it actually matters.
Because imagine that during a physics lesson. You're sitting in your A levels. You're like, right, I've got to get this A so I can go to university, become like a doctor of physics. Oh, wait, it doesn't fucking matter.
Doesn't matter.
Like, boil a frog instead. I don't know.
Do you know what? That's one of the great things to think that we can take from, footage of Chernobyl. What is that town called? Pripyat? I don't know how to pronounce it. I've never said it out loud. You know the way, like, there's so much wildlife growing in it now.
Mm-hmm.
We don't matter, mate. We don't matter because nature will just keep on going. And I don't know why Brian Cox doesn't look up at the sky and go, "Ah, fuck off, sky."
Maybe he does.
I've never bought any of his DVDs. Maybe the extras are fuck off.
Because, like, imagine, like, if you're like a person, like I always find this about like weathermen as well, like, or weather people, like if like your job is like looking at the sky, figuring out what like what the sky is gonna do, like it's a bit of a busman's holiday when it starts raining. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, what's going on here? Like, I've like, you can't really take a break from that. And Brian Cox is the same. You can't be like, oh, well, I can't have a break from space this week.
That's very true. That's very, very true. There's no fucking cutting off, is there? Like, it's not like he'll go, it's nighttime, you know, when night comes around. It's like, no, I know. It's normal in my line of work. But I do like the idea that he might be surprised by the rain. Because that might be, it might be so earthbound, it'll blow his fucking mind.
You're like, oh no, the space is falling onto me.
What's dripping on my beautiful face? It's Robin Ince's sycophancy. Oh, that's all.
I was wondering when we're going to mention Robin.
Well, Matt's hot. By the way, hi everyone. Welcome to Leghole. It's a podcast. So ultimately, like the universe, completely trivial. But my special guest is not trivial. I'm delighted that he's fallen into the lake hole today. One of my favourite comedians in the whole world. One of my favourite people. I reckon easily in my top 10. You could slide into the top 5 on any given moment when Robin really has pissed me off. And keep in mind that happens fairly regularly. So I'd say, you know, I'm putting you in the top five.
Get in. Thank you very much.
It's Matt Hoss. Everyone, Yay. Everyone applauds.
Yeah, it's great to be in your like hold today. And I think by the end of the episode, I can be in the top two, maybe top one.
Yeah. Who knows?
We'll work. Who am I working against? Who else?
Right. I don't think you're going to make it in the top one, because the top one is my dead dog, and that must hurt. Okay. That you were less rated to me than a dead dog, but
well, that's fair. I'm willing to take that.
Yeah, and obviously then the goodies, and then you.
Top three. That's not bad.
Oh, no, you're the goodies are, well, there's three of them, isn't there? So
yeah,
and on any given day there could be two, three, or four.
Okay, yeah. I'm actually, you know what, pleasantly happy with that.
Weird that two of my top five people in the world are dead, and one of them's not even a person. Yeah.
I mean, that is a bit hurtful, but I feel like, other than that, that's actually not bad. I've done pretty well, actually.
Yeah, I think you've done great.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for such a kind... I think that's one of the kindest introductions I've ever had. Obviously, we started with the revolting bit, which I feel like that wasn't the best introduction. But that the bit you just did was really good, so thank you. It's delightful to be in your like hole, finally.
Well, here's the thing about the revolting intro. Does that not suggest that you are in my inner sanctum, because I've opened up? And I feel so happy in your company that I could be... that open with you. In many ways, it's your downfall that you were so liked by me that you were.
I have to see your inner sanctum.
You really do.
Turn off the camera feed, Michael, please. I don't want to see it anymore. Thank you.
Look right into my inner sanctum. It's strangely hypnotic.
Yeah, it's like a magic eye. Well, magic.
It is a magic eye. If you look at it, something will appear. Oh, let's not.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think that was mostly me.
It really was mostly you. But, you know, you're a lot younger than me. You're a young fella. You're a legend. You get away with the cheeky scampness. I look like a revolting old pervert. you know, it's just how it is. Just how it is.
And that is our vibe. I'm cheeky scamp. You know.
Yeah. We're like Steptoes on a bit, aren't we? Two men absolutely fucking depressed in life, but somehow stuck together.
Yeah,
I think that's it. Matt Hoss, comedian Matt Hoss, and dear friend Matt Hoss. I have 10 questions for you today. I'd like you to answer these 10 questions. And from your answers, I will put together a psychological profile of you, which will be revealed at the end of the podcast. Now, regular listeners, I say listeners, Neil, his name is. Hi, Neil. Do you want to say hello to Neil?
Hi, Neil.
Regular listener will know that the first question and the last question of these 10 questions are always the same. But Matt, it's the middle 8 questions. These were all written specifically for you and no one else.
Wow. That's good. Thank you. Yeah. That's in-depth questioning there, and I'm learning a lot about myself at the moment, and I'm actually a student counselor at the moment, so I'm learning to do mental health. Yeah, I'm studying at uni to be a student counselor, and part of that is kind of figuring out who you are. So I feel like I'm going to take this recording and present it to my lecturers, so make sure this is going to be admissible by university standards.
Absolutely. But please use all the evidence that we gather today.
And obviously your psychological setting is very, it's accredited by a lot of the ethical bodies
Luckily I have a diploma from the University of Bullshit Radar, so I can really tap into people's weaknesses, let's call it that.
Great, I look forward to that.
10 questions.
And I have no weaknesses.
10 questions from Matt Hoss, and we're going to start off with question number one. Matt Hoss, do you like sherry?
Now, are you talking about sherry as in a drink, or like a person like Sherry Blair, or like what type of sherry?
I'm putting easily confused down on your down on your psychological profile. Also, smart arse. I'll put that there.
I think
you were being willfully stupid there. So
I wasn't being willfully stupid. I just wanted clarity. I love clarity.
I mean, I've already opened up that I'm ill, and you think you've got time because you've got youth on your side. You see, you've got time to fritter away. I don't. Do you like sherry, Matos? It's a simple, straightforward question.
I don't think I've ever had sherry.
I don't think I have either. I don't think I have.
No, I don't really know what it is. I know people... Is it that kind of light alcohol? Very light alcohol?
Mate, we are connecting so well on this. I don't think... Yes, it's alcohol, but I don't know what it is. I don't...
Sherry drink.
Are you looking it up on a computer?
Yeah, is that all right? Or is that not allowed?
I don't think anyone's ever cheated on the answers before and looked it up.
Cheating? Well, I'm just trying. Like, I'm trying to do research.
I mean, unless you're actually googling, does Matos like sherry? You go. No, it turns out I do. Really love it.
My fan base hasn't answered that one just yet.
Well, I don't think I've ever had it, but like a few things, I've already made up my mind. I don't like it. Like yogurt, I've never had a yogurt.
You've never had a yogurt?
I don't like them. I don't know. I don't think I will like that texture.
But, how can you go through your life without having a single yogurt?
I've never had a pickled onion.
Well, to me, I think that's less surprising than the yogurt, though. But maybe you should have. Maybe you should just have a week where you just have it all out. Yeah, I mean, pickled onion, yogurt.
Bam. Well, who knows if I've got a week, Matt? You know what? Why? Why gamble?
Last recording.
It has to be legs last tape. It has to happen at some point, right? My fucking Beckett-esque life. It has to come to an end at some point. So this might be it. So do you think you like sherry? Do you think you could grow to like sherry?
I think I could grow to like it. I don't think I'll like it straight away because I feel like. I feel like wine. I took a little time to get to like wine. I did like beer straight up when I was a teenager, but like sherry, I feel like it might be a bit of a push. I feel like, you know, like port. It's a bit of a strong drink. Do you know what I mean? Like not strong as an alcohol volume. I mean,
I think it is.
But it's like it's a bold choice. If you're gonna go to the bar, you're gonna have sherry or port. It's a bit much. Do you know what I mean?
Also, like you said, you're very, very young. Very, 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 very young. So maybe neither of us have aged into it yet.
Absolutely.
You must be quite young at heart. I have a young heart. Thanks to an operation.
That's why you were at the hospital earlier. They're wheeling around your cadaver and you're stealing organs.
I used to go and do my visits to the hospital, go, hello, yes it is, it's Michael Legg here from Do the Right Thing. They go, what? And how ill are you? They go, well, I've got a heart condition. And what age are you? 12? Brilliant. You know, and yeah, and I'd just wait, yeah, can I have that one? They're done. Oh, be honest with you. I wasn't a great guy. I wasn't great.
Well, you know, you've got a lot of good qualities. Like, you might harvest organs from children, but you are very funny.
That's what a kind thing to say. I'm going to put kind down on you. A kind that you see. That's the thing. I think that proves you are a kind person. When you see people, you don't see people as bad, you see people as flawed.
I'm just very rational. I think we just got to stop and look at the whole picture rather than just, yes, Michael, you know, organ harvester leg, but also very, very good on podcasts. You know what I mean? Like, there's
really
balance.
Kind of you. That's really kind of you. Let's go on to question number two, Matos. Matos, how come we've never gigged together? What are you scared of?
We've never gigged together because I live in the northeast of England. You live in, I believe, a certain place in London. I wasn't sure if I was allowed to give away your secret location, but like...
Well, maybe not my address, but you could say I live in Lewisham.
Yeah, Lewisham. Mm. Well, I feel like... I don't know how I know that, but I just... Yeah.
I do hang on about it.
So, like, yeah, I don't know. I think I booked you for gigs, which I just haven't turned up at. So, but I've seen you perform.
That's a weird vote of confidence, isn't it? Would you do my gig? Well, I wouldn't do it, but would you?
No, well, I just book it from afar. I'm like a third party kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm a middleman who doesn't have to get involved with the details. But, you know, I bring to a great venue to a great person. Do you know what I mean?
I guess it seemed confusing. That I think I think you weaseled out of that. So I'm going to put spineless down. Is that all right? I'll put spineless down on your psychological profile.
I don't think spineless is maybe I've got a spine.
Mm-hmm. This is dead air, Matt. Unprofessional. I'll put unprofessional.
I'm not unprofessional. I wanted to just allow you to respond to the fact that I might have a... you know what? Fair enough. Maybe I am spineless. I'm sorry.
There we go. See? You see, there we go. I was right all along and you weaseled and you apologised. There you go. Thank you.
I am a bit of a weasel, do you know what I mean? I am like...
Oh, but weasels are nice. I tell you what. Here's a fun thing about weasels. We can go back to my dead dog again right now, because she used to go around to my friend's house, who they had weasels in their house. I mean, like, they bought weasels. It wasn't like their house was infested with weasels. And weasels used to run around my dog's body, like you know, the basic torso, like run circles around her. Like her belly, and then over her back, and then under her belly, and it was one of the weirdest things. It was like seeing a dog in a car wash. It's sort of a terrifying and adorable and confusing.
Wow, that was quite deep.
Question number three, Matt Hoss. Who do you relate to more, Sherlock Holmes or Jimmy Savile?
I mean, that what a question. It's a bold question, because, like, who is picking everyone's got the same answer, right? Like, it'd be kind of weird if you're like, oh, hold on, like, I don't think I'm like that
right
lovely and nice investigator. I wear bad track suits and have a bad track record, do you know what I mean? Like, to answer your question with full earnesty here, I definitely like Sherlock, because I think I'm quite observant, you know. I like to observe things. Mm-hmm. I like true crime. I like calling people.
To be fair, Jimmy Savile really loved true crime. I'd say the argument there is to say he liked it way more than Sherlock Holmes did.
Yeah. Well, that's one point towards Jimmy Savile then. Mm-hmm. Okay. You kind of hoisted me by my own petard then. Okay, mm-hmm. So it's 2-1. I think I'm more of a Watson than a Sherlock. I'm a definite sidekick rather than
Emma.
Emma
Watson. It doesn't matter. I'll be honest. Gotcha. I'll be honest with you. I disappointed myself by saying it. So
I thought that's another side character in Sherlock Holmes. I was like, that wasn't what the housekeeper was called, was it?
Well, listen, maybe I can simplify the question. Maybe it was a bit too sort of vague or something. Well, let's make it clearer.
Okay, please.
How many crimes have you committed?
I've committed. I don't think I've ever committed a crime other than speeding. And because I'm quite a straight. Well, it is a crime. It's not like a full-on crime. Like, sorry, like, speeding isn't the same level as murder, is it? Do you know what I mean? Like, if you go, like, you speed through a village at 33 miles an hour, you're not going to, like, that's not as bad as, like, you know, killing your neighbour.
Oh, you brought up your neighbour. You specifically, you had someone in mind. That was interesting. Yeah. Okay, so you've committed one crime. We'll say one, okay?
Yeah, a single
crime. So let's just balance it. Let you hear me out. How many crimes have you solved?
Okay. Mm-hmm. I would say that I am quite good in a, if I'm watching a film, figuring out who the murderer is.
No, I mean, how many crimes have you solved, Matt? Come on.
Well, I've helped. My mum's a police officer, so I kind of help her when she's having a tough case. Be like, oh, have you thought about that?
Is that true?
It's not really true.
No. Well, so I'd say, as far in the world of podcasting, lying is a crime. So I'd say you're up to crimes, and yet you have never solved a crime. So if we take it logically, you are closer to Jimmy Savile than you are to Sherlock Holmes. So I'll just put down exactly like Jimmy Savile.
This is not good for my press.
Well, you know, it's. I don't see the harm in it because it's only a podcast that will end up being used in your job as student counsellor.
Thank you so much. I'm going to play this clip and be like, yeah, exactly. Like
I'm just being open, just admitting that I'm exactly like Jimmy Savile before I start the job. Question number something, Matt Hoss. You're a performer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They say that to get over stage fright, you should just picture your audience completely naked. Now, as you're under 18, are you allowed to do that?
Firstly, I'm not under 18. And for the whole of this podcast, you think I'm a very, very young guy.
Very young guy.
I'm not that young. I have a bit of a baby face, to be fair. But like, mm-hmm. I'm not necessarily a young guy. But I'm 28. So 10 years after 18.
Wow.
I feel... What does that wow mean?
I mean, you listen, just take the compliment. You look great.
Right, we've got to dig deeper on that. Okay, so are you trying to say that...
Here's the problem. If I compliment someone, my voice suggests I don't mean it. But I do mean it.
Because I thought it was very sarcastic. Yeah. Like, wow, you don't look 28. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You look 18.
You know, just think that you look great. That's what I'm saying. You look very youthful.
Oh, that's very sweet.
I
would say, to answer your question, I don't think. Have you ever imagined your audience naked? Because I feel like it's one of those.
Have you seen my fucking audience? I walk on there and mentally balaclava them all up.
But that's like the thing is though, like it's a bad advice because like when you're on there, you got adrenaline running through your system. You're trying to be professional. You got some lines to say, and then like, I'm not gonna go and think, oh, that there's Trudy there. I'm gonna imagine her without like underpants on. That's not gonna help me calm down. Do you know what I mean?
It's really weird. Yeah, it is too weird.
Mm. It is. It's strange. But that being said, I wouldn't recommend doing that. What I'd recommend doing is doing some breathing exercise beforehand and go on and feel the excitement.
Okay, I'm just going to put hippie wanker. Yeah, it seems like you're a bit new age there. That's a shame. But hey, listen, that it's a real shame.
That's a shame.
That's a shame. But it's your answer, and that's... Oh, that's what we care about here in the Lake Hole. Matt Hoss, question number something. It's a two-part question. That's exciting, isn't it? Now, Matt Hoss, what is your happiest memory and where were you on the morning of 11th September 2001?
Which one do you want first? Because I think do you want happiest memory first?
Hey, sure. That'll give you time to think of an alibi of where you were on the morning of 11th of September 2001.
I actually know where I was on the morning of September.
It'd be amazing. It'd be amazing if the answer was the same thing. My happiest memory was organizing two planes to fly into. Yeah. Sorry, Matt.
To clarify, if you do that, like in 2001, I was 8 years old. So. Right. Just put that into perspective.
But you've always looked 8, so, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that. What I would say is I actually remember seeing that. I was at school and my friend's mum picked me up, went to her house, and I saw that on the TV. So I was in the United Kingdom in a place of... In Brompton-on-Swale, in the northeast of England.
Yeah,
so,
that place definitely exists.
Yeah, there. It's actually a massive IS base at the moment. It's pretty, doesn't support my evidence, But yeah, that being said, happiest memory? I would say I went on holiday this year with my partner, and we went to Yosemite National Park and just sat down on the rocks. That was probably one of the happiest memories I've ever had.
The happiest memory you've ever had is the time you sat on a rock.
All right, mate. Sorry. Is that another point for the Savile camp? Or I don't know. Like,
Do you know what? I don't think Jimmy Savile would answer that. Do you know what? His answer would be horrible. But at least you would sort of understand it. You go, oh, that paedophile that likes fucking dead kids. You know, that probably was the happiest time of his life. You just said the happiest moment was sitting on a rock.
Well, it wasn't just sitting on a rock. It was being in a place of absolute beauty with a person I love. So, like, I feel like that's the balance answer.
I would like to ask this question to your partner. Because I reckon the answers are going to be different.
Yes.
Did you go? Well, you said. I mean, I guess Yosemite Park must be amazing.
Yeah. To be fair, it genuinely is one of my favorite places on earth.
It's one of your favorite people.
One of my favorite people. Yeah, because it actually is a person who comes out and goes, "Ooh, you're walking on my back," and I was like, yeah. "Sorry about that, Mother Nature."
I think I said this in the last podcast, but forgive me, listener Neil. Hi, if I have. But my dad once said that, and you've just reminded me of this, my dad once said that the most famous person he ever met in his life was Kirk Douglas's helicopter. And I've always taken great comfort and joy from that phrase. So maybe you see things the way my father sees things, you know, like I look at this beautiful lake, I think of it as a friend. And I wish I was like that.
Yeah, maybe you slandered my my kind of new wave style earlier, but maybe if you were to connect to your kind of like, if you imagine nature was...
Oh, Christ, people, connect, like, you fucking new age twat. New age twat. I'm putting that down.
You got to evoke it, Michael. You got to evoke those feelings.
Oh, God. I might actually edit this bit out for you. For your sake. Matt Hoss, question yes, something or other. Have you ever seen an ex?
Okay, we're into Sherry territory again. Are we talking about a letter ex or an ex partner? Like
No, like an ex film. You're young. It's probably the idea of seeing an ex is probably really exciting to you, isn't it?
An ex, as in like an ex film. Like, what does that mean?
Wow, you're so phenomenally young. You see?
I don't know what that means.
Well, an ex film is, right, when a man and a woman love each other very much, they go on a date, and to impress the lady, the man takes the lady to an X-rated film, which is how films are rated. X, double A, A. Depending on like an X film would be like Evil Dead or The Exorcist or Saturday Night Fever.
Okay, I got you. So, all right, I got you. So like a Britain's like 18 kind of thing.
Oh, I think they're called 18 now. I don't know. I'm kept up.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I've seen. Thank you for giving me the birds and the bees, birds and bees talk as well. That's very sweet of you. Like I feel like.
Yeah, not everyone goes, do you know what? Do you know what? Get me some action. I'll sit on a rock with her. No, that doesn't always work. You got to take the lady to the pictures.
Okay, so I've seen a lot of 18 movies. That sounds a bit rude, but like I like horror. I do like a bit of horror. So like,
do you?
They typically are the more... I've seen like stuff like... a lot of like the Nightmare on Elm Street because they were originally 18s, but now they're kind of like not really 18 viable. But yeah, I've seen a handful of those horrors for sure.
Do you think your generation has just grown up with more horror than say, for instance, my generation? That's why stuff like Nightmare on Elm Street is now PG.
Yeah, for kids.
Yeah.
I think you kind of get a bit desensitized to it because like. Yeah, I feel like when you first...
Isn't that weird, though?
First... Yeah, it
because,
is weird.
Because like... I grew up during the Troubles, and that was an ex. So it's like, oh, well, you know what? Oh, you can live in this fucking war-torn area, but you can't see this scary film. But now you live in England, which is the country absolutely filled with peace and harmony. And in no way is there a divided community at all. And yet you can just switch on CBeebies and watch I Spit in Your Grave.
But yeah, there is a mixture of culture there, isn't it? Because like, you are right. Because like, what I really don't like is that idea, like how like certain types of media, like it's like an immoral choice. Like you often quite hear like, oh, don't play video games, they'll rot your like character. It's like, oh, actually no, it video games are good, and they're seeing different types of art's good, as long as you're you know, you're in the right place to see it. Yeah, do you ever get that? Yeah, I mean, like people always are like, oh, you shouldn't do X, Y, and Z, but like, it's, that's okay to do it. It's a way of actually venting frustration. Maybe I went a bit too factual on that, but do you know what I mean? Like, it's important to kind of discuss these things in the like hole.
I don't know.
To be honest, I just kept on talking until no. I realized, like, yeah, sorry.
No, of course you should, there shouldn't be censorship if that's what you mean. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm very much for a lot of artistic freedom, but there is some art that is shit, and if it was censored, I couldn't give a crap. So I'm all about, you know, anti-censorship. But, you know, say, for instance, right, you know, like, I'm pulling this film out of nowhere. You know, like Eat, Pray, Love?
Yes.
Imagine that came out and just went, this film is should be banned because it's immoral. I go, yeah, it looks shit. I don't care. Ban it. The thing is, yeah, unfortunately, in my teenage years, so many really interesting films were banned. Like The Evil Dead was sort of banned for a little while, and that's what made it really, really, really interesting. And then when I finally saw it, I lost my mind at how brilliant it was, because how they made that incredibly funny and inventive film on 20 quid is still incredible. And when they made a sequel, they suddenly had a budget of 200 quid. And they just remade the same film. Yeah. That was the sequel.
It's a bold choice. Yeah,
it's an incredible choice. So, you know, this is a very interesting topic. Perhaps we should pass this topic on to, like, what podcast is good where they talk about serious things? Guilty Feminist, something like that.
Yeah.
They could talk about this. Yeah. I'm not a material. So yeah, what sorry. I do is I write a load of sarcastic questions that are, I'd say every third one is sort of vaguely rude towards my guest. And then it's just slightly abusive. But now we're actually talking about things that matter.
All right, we can move away from that. We can talk more about, you know, your inner sanctum if you want. That's something we can.
No, because that sounds like my arsehole again.
Oh,
and I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't mind if that got banned. I have no problem banning my own arsehole.
Imagine you get home, you had a lovely walk out, and you get home, you got a letter from the government, Mr. Michael Legg, your arsehole has been banned. Do you not use any further use of your arsehole?
But it wouldn't happen that way, though, would it? It would happen like I'd wake up one morning and go, oh, better go and have a shit. I'll go downstairs and I can't because it's been boarded up.
No, that sounds like a sequel to The Evil Dead.
Yeah.
The Man Who Couldn't Shit.
The Man... Oh, that'd be such a sad film. Who would play the... Do you know what it'd be? What's his name? He's a brilliant actor who's in Wolf Hall and loads of other things. I'm terrible at actors' names. He's like probably one of the great British actors of sort of, you know, this era. He's like in his fifth... Geez, but he might look like... this is fucking terrible.
Well, I was going to Google it again, but you told me off after the Sherry incident, so I wasn't going to do it.
Oh, what's that cunt's name? This could be a great new section in Lake Hall. What's that cunt's name? And once again, okay. I start talking about something that I couldn't fucking focus on. And then the listeners, Neil, hi Neil, would have to get... Yeah. They would spend their time screaming the name of the person at the podcast, which obviously I can't hear.
Oh. Yeah.
Anyway, that actually, he'd be brilliant as the man who couldn't shit. Be a bit like Groundhog Day. Like, he'd wake up every morning and he couldn't shit until he found true love, and then he could shit.
But does he grow a new arsehole? Because that's not very romantic. Yeah.
Well, do you know what? That's the beauty of the film The Man Who Couldn't Shit, because he has to prove that he's actually a decent human being so she can overlook the fact that he's literally filling up with shit. It's actually a very, very, very good idea for a film.
Very,
really lovely idea. Please
make sure to write that, and we'll cast the guy from Wolf Hall.
Whoever that guy was, he's good though, isn't he? He was in that spy film that Spielberg made. What was it called?
Oh,
Jaws. That one.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Nice.
You see another thing,
Jason Statham.
Yeah, let's say it's Jason Statham. Good actor. That's the thing. He wouldn't bring the same weight to The Man Who Couldn't Shit that I want.
Yeah. Right, I've got a titanium arsehole and I need to have a shit. Yeah. Let's get going.
Yeah.
Was that good?
No, it was really good. It's really good. Yeah. You have to keep shitting or else you'll have a heart attack. And that's the thing, he has to solve a crime while always shitting. See, he would be in the man who has to constantly shit.
I think I relate to that guy more than Sherlock Holmes, is all I'm saying.
Oh, listen, I think we all know that. We all know that you relate to the man who can't stop shitting. But listen, we have to get on with the questions. I'm just going to put down in your profile, co-writer. Because... I think we've come up with a couple of good movie ideas there. Really nice.
We should write a movie together. Maybe not that one, but a movie.
No, it shouldn't be us. It should be somebody good should write that. Somebody really like. It's a shame that Hilary Mantel is dead, because it would make a really nice book as well, wouldn't it? The Man Who Couldn't Shit.
A really big departure from Wolf Hall, but yeah.
Yeah, well, you know what? A lot of her earlier books, were very different. Hmm? Yeah, she's a good writer, Matt. Good writer. Okay, here we go with our next question. Matt Hoss. Matt, when you're alone, what voice do you use?
What voice do I use?
Yeah, when you're alone.
Now, do you typically speak out loud to yourself? Because I'm not sure if I do lots. I think I mutter, you know what I mean? Because a lot of the thinking's going in my head, or I'm listening to like podcasts or music. But like, if I'm usually doing something and I'll do something wrong, I'll be like, oh, fucking hell, what's up? Fucking hell. Like, I mutter a lot.
You sound really creepy when you're alone.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking hell. I'll have revenge on the whole fucking world. Yeah. No, I don't do that. I speak out loud, really, really, quite loudly. Yeah.
How loudly do you speak?
And in different voices. Yeah.
Can you give an impression of one of the voices?
Well, sometimes I will literally just say out loud what I'm doing. I'll go, hello, I think I'll do the dishes. I will clean you plate. Yes, you're all clean now, you dirty plate. I'll do that.
Okay. Mm. Now, what was that accent meant to be?
Meant to be from Earth, so you can't pin any racism on me. They're just from Earth.
I think I can.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you look at past evidence, yes. But maybe that's the thing. We don't look at future evidence, do we? Go, well, as long as he says he won't do it again.
No, that's a good film there. Minority Report. Look at future evidence. Yeah. And then, because imagine if they did Minority Report for like cancelled comedians being like, oh, no, don't do that open mic, because you're gonna say something shitty in 15 years' time, which is a totally shit thing to do.
Or even better, because do you remember like Minority Report, they read their newspapers and the newspapers were all like digital. And we were really impressed by that. I like the idea of, like, on your way to the gig, you read a review of the gig. You go, oh, fucking hell, I'm going to die in my hole tonight.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm going to get bottles.
But then again, read like a three, so sure. Let's give it a go. Yeah. That would be so disconcerting. Maybe we should do that for Edinburgh, like just before the show, give them like a 5-star review and see how the show is.
Yeah, that's true.
Like a blank check.
Well, I mean, wasn't there that website that was called 5-star review? And if you give them like £1, I don't think it was £1. I think it was like £50. They would come to your show and review and give it a 5-star review.
I mean, it's a business model, isn't it?
It is a business model, and it's a stupid one.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to write that down. I reckon I can give credible, good 4-star reviews. It's like, and I'll actually watch the show. Yeah, I mean, like, I'll be like, okay, that was 4-star. I wasn't room for improvement, but yeah, 4 stars. Like, I think that that's more credible.
You know the way people say, oh, sorry, I just burped. That's Lucozade for you. Great drink. Sponsors of Leghole. Now, you know when people say, oh, well, listen, if you are doing the Edinburgh Festival, the last thing you must get in, just don't have it in your head that you're going to be nominated, okay? Just go up there. I'd go one stage further than that and go, don't go up there expecting anything nice whatsoever, including a good review. I'm not kidding you. I've had good reviews in Edinburgh, and I've questioned the good reviews. Like, no, it's not. No, it fucking isn't.
I know what you're talking about, actually, because like sometimes like you'll get at like a middle of the road review, but they got what the show was about. Do you know what I mean? They understood it. But then you get people like several times that like, you had like reviews where it's just like four or four and a half stars being like, yeah, it was really good. Matt Hoss is a really cool guy. It's like, that's not the show I was giving off. Well, do you know what I mean?
Well here's my vibe. Exactly. And here's the thing. All reviewers are there to review art, right? They're reviewing art. Now, in Edinburgh, there is a painting in one of the galleries, and it is called the Three Oncologists. And it is literally, it's by Ken Curry. It's a great Scottish artist. And it is literally one of the most amazing pieces of art you're ever going to see in your life. So anytime, listen, I'm going to sound like I got a load of good reviews. I didn't. But anytime I got a 4-star review, I go, what? You're saying I'm 1 star less than this immaculate piece of art? I think all reviewers should go to see the Three Oncologists. And then when you get your 2-star review, they go, well, yeah, you're nowhere near as good as that. And you go, yeah, that's fair. I'm not.
I mean, dead air. A really nice way to desensitize that emotion. It's quite interesting, that.
Yeah, thanks. That's patronising, so I'll just put down patronising.
Oh, you said you like patronising.
I didn't say I'm against you being patronising. I'm just saying it's what you are. I also put down creepy because of the weird voice you did earlier. Now, here's... that's the one. Now, here we go with another question. Matt Hoss, are you more of a hat or a helmet guy?
Oh, that's a good question.
It's a great question.
I don't think I can pull off hats. Really? I really wanted to. I think it gives me a bit of a headache. And I think helmets, like safety. Do you know what I mean?
Can I just tell you something? You've really, really... Firstly, you charm me anyway. You charm me. You. Honestly, you do. But as soon as you said they give me a headache, this is how decrepit I am. I put my hat on and I am immediately in pain. Because my head cannot suffer the weight of a baseball cap.
Yes, yeah.
It's like, ow, I'm all sore now that there's a tiny bit of material on my head.
Yeah, it feels like it like gives me a migraine, you know what I mean? Like, it wraps around my head, it's like, that's just painful. And you know what, and any other hat doesn't really suit me very much, do you know what I mean? I feel like hats aren't really my vibe, for my Twitch streams, I do wear hats, but that's more like a costume rather than a choice.
You're a performer.
For me to... Yeah, but I feel like Beyonce. To go out in public, never wear a hat.
Right.
I would wear a helmet for safety reasons.
Sure.
All the time. Bike, sure. Whatever.
Or if you were, you know, in space.
Famously, I'm in space.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I see you, like if I was to choose a hat for you, it'd be like, you know, the Pearly King hat, like a cap with all buttons sewn on it.
Is that from an X-rated film? Because I haven't seen that.
There's hardly any Pearly Kings in The Exorcist. That's one of the reasons it's a good film.
Hat. Pearly King hat. Let's have a look at that.
Okay.
I'm
going to put Pearly King down on your psychological profile. I think mentally you are a Pearly King.
Oh, yep. I'm definitely a Pearly King.
Well, sure. There you go. You see? See, I'm pretty good at this. Pretty good. Now, we'll come to the end of your 8 questions, but there'll be one more question after this, but this is the end of your 8. Matt, describe an average day.
An average day. I'm quite a busy dude, so I've always quite long, so I'm either working.
Matt. You're making this all about you. I mean, describe an average day.
Okay.
Like, it starts quite dark, doesn't it?
Yeah, so it starts, bam, midnight, very dark.
Yeah, very dark.
It stays like that for about, typically about 6 hours.
I'd say something like that.
A lot of people are trying to sleep during this time. Not much happening, unless you're out on the lash. Unless, you know, typically people are quite quiet. It's a bit of a chill time.
Yeah.
Depends on where you live, obviously. But then 6 o'clock, people are getting ready for work. It's a bit brighter. People are going for walking the dogs, etc.
That's true.
Getting ready for the day ahead. Then the day is ahead. You start your main bit of work typically around about 9 o'clock. Bish bash bosh. It's lunchtime. 12 o'clock.
Lunchtime. Yummy.
You're having your dinner. You're having a laugh, cracking stuff.
Yeah.
1 p.m. One to two p.m. You're getting your post afternoon slump. You're not in your right vibe space. You get a bit tired. It's 4 o'clock. You're not doing any more work. You're just sitting around and you're just hanging out. You know, and
the sun's
like dipping out now. Then 5 o'clock, bish bash bosh, hen home. The sun's kind of dipping down. The best part of the day is gone. What have you been doing? Nothing. You've wasted that day. Then it's at nighttime again. A lot of people watch Netflix towards the back end of the evening, then fall asleep, and it's midnight again.
I mean, that's it. I mean, that's incredible that in your idea of like an average day, not one person masturbated. I find that hard to believe.
I didn't say that. That could happen at any time.
Yeah. But I think it's nice that in your worldview, you've got, well, there's none of that's happening. It's revolting. I was like, well, could you at 6 o'clock, everyone's getting ready for work. What about wanking? Like immediately, oh, the alarm's gone off. Well, better get this done before I get up.
You know, I do have to state, you know, wanking's not a chore, right?
You're right, it's not.
I've got to go and wash the dishes. I've got to clean the windows. I've got to have a pull. You know,
it is. It is like it's not a chore, but it's you know the way. Like life is a gift, right? Life is this incredible experience. Well, going to a concert is a great experience, but you still have to buy a ticket. And I think to have the great experience of life, you have to start off with having a way.
Please don't wank at concerts.
And that is your ticket for the rest of the day. Like, right, great. I've got that over with. I'm up.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, wanking, it's a bit of like, I find it like, it's a bit of a miracle cure. Because like, if you're sleepy, it'll either wake you up or put you to sleep. You know, like it's a perfect cure for any ailment. Do you know what I mean? COVID, you know.
I'm putting medical man there. I tell you one thing, you really saved a lot of Pearly King and Medical Man. Imagine ending on those two. That's incredible. Thank you so much for describing an average day. I think it's nice for us and the listener just to be reminded, you know what a day's really like.
Yeah. Well, I'm here to bring you back down to earth. Thank you.
Thank you. You really are a treasure. This is our final question today. Okay. Matt Hoss. Matt Hoss, let me ask you this. What is leg hole?
What is leg hole? Now, leg hole, I think leg hole is an experience. You know what I mean? It is a podcast and it is a chat. And it's a very, I would say, a very loose structure of Michael insulting you in an interview-based process. Sure. But what leg hole is, it's a chance for for two minds to kind of connect. And it's whilst Michael is low-key but funnily judging you, I think it's an experience to kind of figure out a bit more about yourself, but in a very humorous facade.
Would you recommend it to friends and colleagues?
Depends.
All right, would you recommend it to colleagues?
I would recommend it to... I would recommend it to people who are like, what is a podcast? And I would show them, this is the first thing out, and the only thing I'll show them, like, this is what a podcast is.
Right.
And only show them yours.
I think to be fair, I think if someone goes, do you know, I've never really listened to a podcast, I should listen to some, definitely recommend me first.
Yeah, that's exactly, because like,
yeah,
they will have a very different view of what podcast is. They're like, yeah, like imagine them meeting up for like Christmas dinner, and like they're all talking about their favorite podcasts. And like, I was like, well, I thought it was a bit weird because like they were all talking about like, you know, someone writing a porno, but like this Michael Legg fella is certainly weird. Yeah.
Just do you remember like when podcasts first, you know, started? When was that? About 2 years ago, something like that.
Yes, of course.
And all the first podcasts were all just two people talking shit. And then people decided, no, we're better than that. And podcasts became slick and professional. Well, guess what? I'm here to bring about the demise of the slick and the professional podcast. I'm bringing it back to old school, bad, you know, production values. You know, a host who clearly doesn't know what they're doing and is literally wasting everyone's time. Clearly... easily available guests.
Well, how hot.
You know.
Yeah, to fit you into a very busy schedule, so...
And that is what Leghole is to me. But thank you for having clearly a better... Do you know, I'm going to put good judge of character.
Thank you. And to follow on what your point is, I feel like podcasts are a bit too produced, because it does kind of annoy me when...
I'll put rude down as well.
Okay, I won't tell you more.
No, please.
No, just you know the idea, like how, as you mentioned, like these big production companies come in to do like these slick podcasts with like the fancy editing and like kind of like the cool like music in the background, and they even have a credits list at the end with like 80 people. And it's just like,
right,
I can't do that. I'm just a dude being like, oh, what's your favorite music band, and talk about that, and that's what I do.
Yeah. And it's and do you know what? It's, I think it does us great credit that that's what we do. I just don't see the point of working. There you go.
Yeah. What's the point?
No, what's the point? Am I getting paid for this? No. Well, then that's the amount of work. No. Oh, hang on. Am I getting paid to have you on here?
Yes, actually.
God, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah.
Do you want to do my podcast? Oh yeah. All right. Well,
and you get a free 5-star review.
Yeah. Yeah. If you pay, I'll be nice to you. And if you don't, well, yeah. It's just how it is.
Imagine if I paid you to be nice to me for the whole of this podcast. It'd be a very different podcast.
It'd be really. I think it'd be very weird.
Yeah.
I don't think absolutely. That's why people pay me. You know.
Yeah. This certainly. There's certainly something going on there.
I don't know why people pay me, but it's not that. It's not that. Matt Toss, you are such a delight. I'm so happy that you agreed to do my very humble, and by that I mean shit, podcast. and listen, to anyone out there who has not heard Castival, it's a great podcast. Matt's podcast is fantastic. My Vitriola music friends out there who may have listened to my old music podcast. Castival's a great music podcast. I definitely think that you should listen to it. Matt and I will be revealing very soon our new music podcast, but we'll talk about that another time. Matt, where can people see you next?
You can see, well, find me online at Matt Hoss Comedy, and obviously check out Castable, as mentioned. Thank you for that, Michael. And I'm on all the social medias at Matt Hoss Comedy, and you might see me on Twitch as well. I do a lot of broadcasts on there 3 times a week. So I have a lot of online things going on. So If you can't see me in person doing comedy stuff, you can also see me online. So lots of stuff to get your teeth into.
Okay,
so, I'm just a very busy boy.
I'm just going to write, ruined the fucking podcast. Ruined the fucking... Because I'll be honest with you, Matt, that all came across like this was a slick podcast because I said, where can people see you next, Matt? And then you answered it correctly. I was really hoping you would answer with, oh, well, I'm playing Bradford on Friday. And then I was going, what? Are you going to be invisible until then? No, it's fucking ruined. It's fucking ruined. Doesn't fucking matter.
Don't gossip on Friday.
Matt, please. The moment's gone and it's fine. It's fine. I'll use the joke next time with someone. Matt Hoss, you're a lovely guy.
Thank you.
But let's have a look at your psychological profile. Matt Hoss, please. You are easily confused. You're a smartarse. You're kind, spineless, unprofessional, exactly like Jimmy Savile. You're a hippie wanker, new age twat, co-writer, creepy, patronizing, pearly king, medical man, a good judge of character, rude, and you ruined the fucking podcast. And all of those things, Matt, come together to make our friend and hero, Matt Hoss. Everyone applaud.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thanks for being all those things, Matt, because when they all come together, it turns out they all work out right.
Well, thank you very much. And yeah, thank you for having me on, Michael. It's great to be here.
It's fine, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. Thanks for listening.
Yeah,
it's fine. You know, it's do you know, it's an hour of our life gone now, isn't it?
Yeah, but we're two friends hanging out and entertaining Neil. What more could we ask for?
Do you think Neil's got this far into the podcast?
No.
Oh, great. Neil's a cunt. There you go. I've been dying to say that the whole run of Leghole, and now I can finally say it, knowing that there's no way on earth he's got this far. Because he's a lovely fella, and I would genuinely hate to hurt his feelings, because he's a really lovely guy. But, you know, he is a cunt. And there's nothing we can do about that. But listeners, thank you so much for listening. Matt Hoss, thank you so much for answering and for being great. Until next time, goodbye!
Bye!
Of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.